"Guess it's all right," I said. "Maybe good for morale. But if it starts getting in the way, I'll personally recycle it." "Yes, sir," he said, visibly relieved, thinking that I couldn't really do anything like that to such a cute bundle of fur. "Try me, buddy." So we had seen it all. The only thing left this side of the engines was the huge hold where the fighters and drones waited, clamped in their massive cradles against the coming acceleration. Charlie and I went down to take a look, but there were no windows on our side of the airlock. I knew there'd be one on the inside, but the chamber was evacuated, and it wasn't worth going through the fill and warm cycle merely to satisfy our curiosity. I was starting to feel really supernumerary. Called Hillebo, and she said everything was under control. With an hour to kill, we went back to the lounge and had the computer mediate a game of Kriegspieler, which was just starting to get interesting, when the 10-minute warning sounded. The acceleration tanks had a half-life to failure of 5 weeks. There was a 50-50 chance that you could stay immersed for 5 weeks before some valve or tube popped and you were squashed like a bug underfoot. In practice, it had to be one hell of an emergency to justify using the tanks for more than 2 weeks acceleration. We were only going under for 10 days, this first leg of our journey. 5 weeks or 5 hours, though, it was all the same as far as the tankee was concerned. Once the pressure got up to an operational level, you had no sense of the passage of time. Your body and brain were concrete. None of your senses provided any input, and you could amuse yourself for several hours just trying to spell your own name. So I wasn't really surprised that no time seemed to have passed when I was suddenly dry, my body tingling with the return of sensation. The place sounded like an asthmatics convention in the middle of a hayfield. 39 people and one cat, all coughing and sneezing to get rid of the last residues of fluorocarbon. While I was fumbling with my straps, the side door opened, flooding the tank with painfully bright light. The cat was the first one out, with a general scramble right behind him. For the sake of dignity, I waited until last. Over 100 people were milling around outside, stretching and massaging out cramps. Dignity. Surrounded by acres of young female flesh, I stared into their faces and desperately tried to solve a third-order differential equation in my head to circumvent the gallant reflex. A temporary expedient, but it got me to the elevator. Hillebo was shouting orders, getting people lined up, and as the doors closed, I noticed that all of one platoon had a uniform light bruise from head to foot. 20 pairs of black eyes. I'd have to see both maintenance and medical about that. After I got dressed.